Welcome back, Triple Threat, Sports Radio 610. Sean Pendergast, Rich Lord with you. It would be nice. I think the optimal thing would be if the Texans were still playing football right now, obviously. They're not. They got knocked out in the wild card round. However, it is nicer than last year when the season was over and we really didn't talk much draft because the Texans weren't picking till the 68th overall pick.
No doubt.
It is nice to have a first and 2 second round picks so that we can... Not that we couldn't have Dane Brugler on last year, because I'm sure we did. But
at least a little more relevant.
At least we can talk with some context about the Texans drafting the first couple rounds.
23, 54, and 55?
That sounds about right. And we bring him on right now. NFL draft expert. Does great stuff on The Athletic. So joining us here on the Byers Barricades hotline is Dane Brugler. Dane, how are you?
Doing well. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon. So let's start with Kyler Murray. He declared himself for the NFL draft earlier today, but it sounds like according to the reports, he's got a 72-hour window where he can pull himself out of there. And I'm assuming that there's still ongoing talks with Major League Baseball. Putting aside what his options are right now, Dane, just in general, what's your grade on Kyler Murray and what do you feel like the trajectory or potential window, you know, floor and ceiling is for him in the upcoming draft?
You know, it's tough because he's a player where you really can't watch the tape and trust it because he played in the conference with little defense. He played behind an elite offensive line. Four of the five will be drafted pretty highly in this upcoming draft. And there were times where, forget 2 or 3 seconds, he had 5, 6, 7 seconds in the pocket to make plays. So the offensive line that he played behind, the weapons they did throw to, the conference that he played in. I mean, he tore through the Oklahoma schedule with relative ease. And on tape, there's a lot of things to like. The arm strength, the dynamic athleticism. I think he's a naturally accurate thrower of the football. He's not a guy that's scattershot. So there's plenty to like, but when everything's faster, when the defense is better, we saw that in the Orange Bowl against Alabama. Nothing in the Big 12 really prepared Kyler Murray for Alabama, and you know there's nothing really preparing him for what the NFL is going to throw at him. Then you factor in 5'9", 190 pounds, there's a lot of questions there, a lot of concern. When it's all said and done, we're really early in the process, the interview process, what he does on the whiteboard, how he breaks down coverages. There's just so much that, so many steps we have to get to, but where we are right now, I think it's, he has the upside to go top 10. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if he goes somewhere in the 30 to 50 range either. Because there's only going to be probably 3, 4, 5 teams that are going to be looking at him as, a top 50 pick. You figure most teams have their quarterback, and then of the 10 teams that are looking for a quarterback, maybe only half of them will be on board with a skill set. And so there's a lot of things we got to work through, but it's really going to make for a fascinating discussion here the next few months.
Dane, we appreciate you giving us the time. We were talking earlier about how, shorter quarterbacks like Drew Brees and Russell Wilson winning Super Bowls, a guy like Baker Mayfield having the success he had this rookie year. Heck, even Case Keenum. I know he hasn't been to a Super Bowl, but he played well enough to get himself $25 million guaranteed. Height does no longer seems to be the impediment it used to be to play this position.
No, but at the same time, we've never seen 5'9". Well, I should say we haven't seen 5'9" since, Doug Flutie? And then, before that, who knows? So, I think that nowadays teams are more willing than ever before to think outside the box, to be a little more open-minded to a smaller frame quarterback. And, it was just a couple of years ago where, if a player was shotgun only in college, that was something that was, we talk about as a big concern. Well, now in today's NFL, when a lot of quarterbacks are 75% shotgun anyways, that's no longer a concern. And, with a guy like Kyler Murray, who's 5'9", who, he's probably going to have to be almost primarily shotgun so he can better see over the line. But I think the biggest thing, more so than height, will be the build. He's only 190 pounds. And for those saying, oh, he'll put on weight, he'll bulk up, he's maxed out. I mean, he's not getting much bigger. He's not going to be a 200-pound quarterback. And with his dynamic athleticism, the move around, create those second-chance throws, those off-platform throws, he's going to take hits at the NFL level. And so I think more so than the 5'9", I think teams will be more worried about the 190. And just does he have the body armor to take consistent punishment as a mobile quarterback in the NFL?
Dane Brugler, the Athletic NFL draft expert, joining us on the Triple Threat here on Sports Radio 610. Dane, aside from Kyler Murray, you've got some other quarterbacks going fairly high in your mock draft. I think the first one I see here is the Giants, Dwayne Haskins at 6. Daniel Jones, the kid out of Duke, at 7. And a few more along the way. What is your Drew Lock also in the top 10? So three quarterbacks in the top 10 in your mock draft. But give us your assessment of this quarterback class. We know some teams are going to draft quarterbacks just based purely out of need. How would you compare it to, say, last year's class, which saw 2 in the top 3 and 4 in the top 10?
Yeah, first time in about 70 years, we had 4 quarterbacks go in the top 10 last year. And I think last year was a much better class than this year. But at the same time, you know, even though it's not as high of a regarded class, quarterback desperation in the NFL, it doesn't take a year off. And so we're going to see these guys get pushed up. With the underclassmen that came out, Dwayne Haskins, he only has 14 starts under his belt, but he put together some strong tape. He's got a special arm. You worry about the lower body, the mechanics kind of affects his accuracy and his ball placement down the field. But he's got a special arm, and you know, you saw him progress and get better, develop throughout the season. So I think Dwayne Haskins is the favorite right now to be the first quarterback drafted. And then you've got, you know, some interesting guys who I think they're more late first, second round guys. You know, Daniel Jones, Drew Lock. But you know, quarterback desperation is a real thing. You look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, who they're in a position where they want to win now. You look at the Denver Broncos. A year of Case Keenum, I think John Elway is ready to, you know, tear his hair out, looking for a stronger armed quarterback. So, you know, Miami, you've got Washington. So there's plenty of teams that will be looking for a quarterback. I think Dwayne Haskins is the favorite to go number one, at least to be the first quarterback drafted. And then you've got Jones, Drew Lock, and then Kyler Murray, who's going to be a complete wild card in this whole thing. So, but if history tells us anything, we're going to see one of these quarterbacks go in the top 5. And, you know, the last 3 years, we've seen quarterbacks go in the top 3 where teams traded up. And so a good bet that one of these teams will be trading up for the top quarterback, whoever that ends up being. But it's going to take the next few months till we really separate these quarterbacks and figure out the pecking order. I don't think there's going to be any consensus among 32 teams. There's going to be a lot of debate about the order they should come off the board.
The Texans locally here, Dane, obviously looking to upgrade their offensive line. They need a guy to make an impact like Quentin Nelson did with the Colts this season. At number 23, how do you rate their chances? Are they going to have to move up from that spot to get themselves an offensive line, be it a tackle or interior lineman that can have that type of impact?
Yeah, we know that all 32 teams need offensive line help, depth. Yeah, tackle, guard on the interior. So, you know, if there's quality offensive linemen in this draft, they're going to go high. One of my favorite this year is Cody Ford, the offensive. He was played right tackle at Oklahoma. He can play inside a guard. If a grizzly bear wore pads and played football, it would look something similar to Cody Ford. He's so much fun to watch play football. But again, he's guys with that kind of talent, they go high. And so, if the Texans want to get one of these premium offensive linemen, they're probably going to have to package picks to move up and make sure they get them. Jonah Williams from Alabama, the left tackle, he's the favorite to be the first offensive lineman drafted, probably in the top 10. Greg Little from Ole Miss, left tackle, somewhere in the top 12 picks. And then you've got Cody Ford, who, there's plenty to like, but I think he's probably going to go somewhere in the top 20 picks. And if the Texans stay put, then you're looking more at Juwan Taylor, who's a right tackle at Florida. Andre Dillard, an offensive tackle from Washington State. You're getting that second and third tier of offensive linemen, which there's still talent there. But if the goal is to get the best offensive linemen available, they're probably going to have to trade off.
Well, if you mentioned those guys, and I'm looking at your mock draft right now. Ford, the Oklahoma kid that you just gushed about, you have him going 18th to the Vikings. The Texans are picking 23rd, and you have him taking Juwan Taylor, the kid from Florida. Would it be worth it for the Texans? Is the difference, say, between Taylor and Ford enough to where giving up, say, one of the 2 seconds that they have to move up those 5 spots would be worth it, or is that too pricey?
in my opinion, it'd be worth it because I think you're getting a much better player and you're getting a guy that can help you out at tackle and guard. He played guard earlier in his career. He's got that wide body frame. Moved to right tackle this past year. And, you know, I didn't see him get beat once around the corner. For a big man, he moves really well. I mean, he's a legit 340 pounds, but he's got such a wide base that he's able to cover that corner. He's able to, you know, inside, cut off inside moves. Strong hands. He's a bully in the run game. So for me personally, if Cody Ford is available at, you know, 15, 16, I'm going to use whatever ammo I have to go up and get him.
Yeah, they definitely need somebody to make a big impact in that O-line. Hey, a local guy here from the Houston Cougars, Ed Oliver, is obviously going to go high in this draft, but it feels like there's a pretty good amount of talent at the top of this draft at the same position, like the Williams kid from Alabama or Wilkins from Clemson. Where do you slot those three interior D linemen?
Yeah, and I'd include Jeffrey Simmons from Mississippi State in there as well. They all offer something a little different. Quinnen Williams, to me, is clearly the top guy. I mean, he's one of the best players I've evaluated this year, one of the best defensive tackles I've evaluated in years. I compare him to a Gerald McCoy type of player. He's big time, and if he doesn't go in the top three picks, I'll be shocked. So Quinnen Williams is at the top. And then I think it's, that's where there's some debate after Quinnen Williams. Is Ed Oliver next? Is Jeffrey Simmons? You mentioned Christian Wilkins from Clemson. So I think there's some debate about who's the number two defensive tackle in this group. Ed Oliver, he didn't quite have the senior year that, you know, the junior year most expected. But, you know, part of that was his injury. Part of that is the fact that he's receiving double teams and he's receiving so much attention on that defensive line that he can only do so much. Plus, he's playing nose tackle. The Aaron Donald comparisons are going to come out. I think that's a disservice to Oliver because that's not quite who he is. He's not that type of pass rusher, and I don't think he should be compared to an Aaron Donald, but he's still really, really talented, a fantastic athlete. And I love the motor. The motor just doesn't quit whenever he's on the football field. He's not going to be a fit for every scheme, and that'll be kind of why he probably doesn't go in the top five. He's probably in the 6 to 12 range. But I think whoever ends up drafting him is going to get a really good football player.
Dane Brugler, The Athletic, joining us on the Triple Threat on Sports Radio 610. Dane, the other big need the Texans have is in the secondary. We saw that when they played against good quarterbacks this year, especially against receivers who can run a little bit, their secondary on the outside could not run very well against the likes of T.Y. Hilton and some other speed wide receivers. Some of the cornerbacks that you have going kind of in the neighborhood of the Texans, shortly after they pick at 23, you've got Nasir Adderley from Delaware, who you have listed as a safety / corner. And then there's DeAndre Baker, the cornerback out of Georgia, played an SEC schedule, that level of competition on a really good defense. How hard would the Texans need to think about taking, say, a DeAndre Baker versus looking at the offensive line at 23?
Yeah, I think it should be a discussion because, you know, like you said, I think it was clear watching the Texans, especially later in the year, they have a need at corner and they need to add depth. They need to upgrade and, at least add more talent to the position. So, somewhere in the first three rounds, cornerback is going to be a position they likely look at. DeAndre Baker, he won the Jim Thorpe Award this year, came back for his senior year, was a first-team All-American. The production wasn't off the charts, only two interceptions, but they didn't throw at him a lot. He's not the biggest, he's not the fastest, but he's so smart. He understands routes, he's quick to diagnose, he understands spacing so he can disrupt the catch point. I think the coaches are going to love what he brings in run support. So his level of confidence and the way he can diagnose routes, that's what the really big selling point with DeAndre Baker. But again, because he's not going to be, he's probably going to be under 6 foot. He's probably going to run more in the, the 4.48 to 4.52 range. He's not going to be a blazer in the 4.3s. And because of that, he might fall down a little bit and, outside the top 15, outside the top 20. And if so, I think the Texans could still get a really good player who, has played man. He's played cover two. He's a little scheme versatile with what he can do. He's got the instincts that you want. So, he could be a nice value pick if Houston stays put in the 20s.
Dane, I know they caught a lot of heat last year in the Big Apple for passing on Sam Darnold. Is this the year finally the Giants draft the heir apparent at quarterback? And if so, who would it be?
You would think so, but, you know, we thought so last year. With a second overall pick and, you know, their choice of Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold or whoever they wanted, except for Baker Mayfield, who had won. But after watching the Giants this year, I mean, they had one of the best offensive players in the NFL in Saquon Barkley, and they still, what, went 5-11? So it just, nothing's going to change unless they change at quarterback. They need help on the offensive line. They need help at pass rush. But it all starts at quarterback. And, you know, is there a quarterback in this group that they feel is going to lead them to the playoffs? That'll be the big question. And it's interesting because they picked number six. But and like I mentioned before, the top five teams really don't have a dire need of quarterback. Dave Gettleman, the GM, notorious for staying put, not trading around, not trading up, not trading back. Is he going to feel the pressure if he really likes one of these quarterbacks and possibly trade up into the top three picks to make sure that he gets his quarterback? There's going to be a lot of intrigue around the Giants and a team like the Jaguars, the Broncos, or another team trading ahead of them to get the quarterback. But it's really going to be one of the main storylines we talk about throughout the draft process.
Dane, I think it's funny, like in previous years, a couple of years ago, Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey skipped their bowl game, and they were, you know, kind of trendsetters at that time in doing that, and people talking about, oh, I don't know if the league's going to like that. And then now we have a bunch of guys skipping bowl games. Nick Bosa basically skipped this whole season. Once there was one hint of an injury with him, he shut it down and said, I'm going to get ready for the draft. You have him going number one overall to the Arizona Cardinals. So I guess the next step is for a guy to just say after his sophomore year, you know what, I'm not going to play this year. I'm just going to work out and get ready for the NFL draft. In your opinion, as someone who covers the draft, how close do you think we are to that actually happening?
You know, I think it's possible sometime in the next 5 years that we could see it. You know, we see it in basketball with, you know, players going overseas to play for a year. You know, could we see maybe one of these other leagues, like the XFL, possibly say, you know, hey, we don't have an age limit. If you want to come play for us for a year or two, you know, that's fine. We'll gladly compensate you. Because this isn't a college rule. You know, the three-year rule, 3 years removed from high school, that's an NFL rule. So, you know, other professional leagues with the ability to pay these players, they could potentially go after them. So I think some point in the next 5 years is a good chance we see it. But, you know, it's a tough subject because, you know, you don't blame some of these players for, you know, not playing in the bowl game, meaningless exhibition game. But at some point, you know, we have to draw the line. You know, at what point do you say, okay, this guy really doesn't love football. This guy really doesn't, you know, love being around his teammates. He's going to mail it in once he's in the NFL too. So, I think we're still trying to figure out where that line is. But at some point in the next few years, I'm sure we'll be faced with that discussion to try and figure it out.
Dane, if you don't mind, I want to just circle back briefly to Kyler Murray and just one last follow-up on him. In your opinion, is his position such that between now and the combine on February 26th, if he's serious about football, that he needs to devote every ounce of energy and time into prepping for the combine? Or could you see him conceivably entertaining both interests with, of course, the A's spring training starting about 10 or 11 days before the combine?
Yeah, and that's what we don't know because, yes, Kyler Murray said that he's declaring for the NFL draft today, but it's mostly because today was the deadline for underclassmen to do so. So even though he did that, the real deadline will be February 15th when, you know, he's supposed to report to the Oakland A's training camp for spring training. And so that will be the big indicator about what he's leaning towards. If he goes to Oakland A's spring training, that's going to make for an interesting combine when teams ask him, you know, what's going on? Are you going to football? Are you baseball? Are you riding the fence? Because, yeah, we've seen players do it in the past. Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders. We've never seen a quarterback do it. A quarterback can't do it. If you're going to play quarterback in the NFL, you have to devote 100% of your time to the position. And so it's not going to be a thing where NFL teams are going to be on board with him trying to play both. So that's going to be an interesting part of the next few months because even though he declared today, really February 15th is kind of the deadline. Unless Kyler Murray comes out and says he's no longer considering baseball, February 15th will be the real deadline that tells us what he's thinking.
Dane, what kind of dog do you have?
He's got a yellow lab, and he was just dying to get on the show today. He's got some takes on Kyler Murray.
Big time take. Dude, he sounds fierce.
If only the dogs were that loud this past weekend.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. good one, Rich. Yes, absolutely. Dane, we appreciate it, man. At DP Brugler on Twitter, and great follow this time of year and any time of year for draft stuff. Dane Brugler, mock draft up right now at The Athletic. Dane, keep up the great work. Looking forward to doing it again with you throughout the draft season. Thanks.
All right, anytime. Thanks, guys.
I appreciate it. Dane Brugler and his yellow lab joining us on the Triple Threat.
Yeah, it happens.
That was a fearsome dog. You're right, Rich. I wish the dogs were barking like Dane's dog was.
Yeah, I mean, I'd
have more money in my account.
I'm the guy who can't remember to turn his phone down when the show starts, so it's not like I can say a whole lot.
Well, you can't because it's hard to turn a dog down.
Right.
You know, you do things to turn a dog down, and then PETA gets on you, and then, you know, it's just a matter of putting your phone on vibrate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Not Dane's fault.
Well, my phone dinged at the top of the show with Jenny asking, killings?
Oh, she wants to go, huh? Yes. Barbecue or steakhouse?
Steakhouse,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, it's good. You're going to like it. You will like it.